Welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, alongside my man, Chase Carroll. Chase, it's been a minute since we've been on the pod. Team is 1-5. I don't know exactly even what to say, except for this is about what I think we should have expected from the team at this point in the season. I know a lot of our fan base is pretty disappointed with the play that we've seen so far. And I definitely think there are things to be disappointed about, even with low expectation. But I just want to open up the floor to you, Chase. Tell me how you're feeling about the team. What are some general thoughts you're having about the team sitting at 1-5?
Yeah, I think we should have expected this record-wise, most certainly. I think record-wise, this is definitely on par with where we should have been. But I think a lot of us, including myself, at least expected it to be a competitive year as far as the product they're putting on the court. I definitely don't expect them to have a good win-loss record, but I think I have expected them to be at least a competitive team once they're on the court. But they're, you know, mostly getting blown out in just about every game that they've played this year, with exception, of course, of their one win against the depleted Grizzlies team. And it's a little frustrating because definitely would like to see a good young team on the floor, but we definitely knew this was going to happen this year. But I think we expected at least some fight defensively. We don't really have a great roster when it comes to the defense. Like there's clear holes there, especially from the five position, and we've outlined that the entire offseason that five is going to be a big issue both on the boards and defensively, and that's 100% been the case this year, and definitely I think we all knew that moving forward. But it's been really frustrating because you look at the roster, no one player has played over 30 minutes a game, and some of that is because they're getting blown out a lot and they're able to see what young guys can do at the end of the bench. But at the same time, I want to see some of these guys get in a rhythm and actually see who sticks as far as long-term pieces. And we're still very early into the year, but not a single player is averaging over 30 minutes a game. And we got to start establishing what guys are going to be here long-term and get a role going for them. So hopefully we can shorten this rotation down and hopefully we can make some of these games competitive, because that's really holding us back from a development standpoint, I think, for some of these guys.
I think the lack of competitiveness is where the bulk of the frustration is rooted for the fan base, it seems, just from what I've seen on social media. And I guess my impressions watching the game, I feel like this is along the lines of what I anticipated the experience would be like this season. I think when I look at the Wizards roster in comparison to the rest of the rosters around the NBA, and there's just a clear talent deficit, not even from a just like a general talent standpoint, but even like a young talent standpoint. You know, it's like you look at some of the young teams that are rebuilding or that have been in the process of rebuilds, like the Rockets, right? They have a lot of young talent and they've added some vets around those guys, but that young talent are all like top picks or like really highly regarded prospects. But if you look at the Wizards prospects, the only really highly regarded prospect is Bilal. Corey Kispert was projected to be a mid-first round pick. Denny at one point was projected, you know, pretty high, but at some point you just kind of are what you are. And Denny's taken some good strides this year, and we'll obviously get to that. But there's no young player on the roster that is just a blue chip prospect outside of maybe Bilal. So I feel like if you compare what the Wizards are doing, even with just their young guys, to the other guys or other teams that have been rebuilding in the past few years around the league, there's just such a talent deficit. Even if you're just like, oh, well, they're playing a lot of their young guys. It's like when your second best young guy is Corey Kispert or Johnny Davis, it's just kind of like, I like Kispert, but Johnny Davis is just not that good. And I think that that's just, he's shown signs of improvement, but there just isn't that talent. And so when you're watching the Wizards play, and obviously that isn't like a revelation that there's not a lot of talent, and I think it's by design, right? At this point with the new era that we're in terms of the management under Winger and Dawkins, to me, I've just gotten to the point where like, this is clearly by design this season. Like, I don't think that they looked at this roster and were like, you know what, we're going to get Tyus Jones and we're going to bring Mike Muscala over in a trade and we're going to put these guys together and we're going to have a pretty competitive team. I think they thought that the team could be maybe moderately competitive in the sense of they'll be in games, but then still lose. I think the intention obviously wasn't to win a lot of games, but I think that this is by design that the roster just isn't that good. And I think when you have a roster that just isn't that good, these guys know when they're going up against the Celtics or they're going to get up against the Sixers, they don't have a guy that can guard Joel Embiid. They don't have the players to match up with the Celtics. And there's nothing that they can do about that. So I think that when you kind of get hit in the face, punched in the face early on in these games, I think it's hard to muster up that wherewithal to keep fighting when you know you don't have a chance. They don't have, I mean, when Kyle Kuzma is your best player, I just don't think that you can really muster up that competitiveness all the time when you look across and you're playing Tatum, Brown, Holiday, Porzingis, and Al Horford all at the same time. Like, I just think that there's a natural demoralization that's already kicking in for the team. They don't believe in Wes's message. Okay. And you can see that in just the way that it's not like they're playing hard for him. To me, it's like a lot of going through the motions of sets, going through the motions on defense, not communicating. And for a guy that's supposed to be a good defensive coach, I don't understand why Wes can't get these guys to at least compete harder on that end. But my main point, at least here in this section of our pod, is I just think that these guys are getting punched in the face early on, or when they do get that punch in the face, they think, well, there's no way we can slow down Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. So they kind of just throw in the towel. Now, that sucks for us as fans. But if you look at the roster, I think we all probably would feel the way they feel too. If you're, you know, Kuzma's been fighting, but if you're some of these guys, you look across and like, we're playing Gallinari minutes, we're playing Muscala minutes, we're playing Johnny Davis minutes. Like, these are guys that probably wouldn't get many minutes on most NBA teams. So I think this is to be expected. I think being 1-5, given the schedule they've had so far, is pretty much what I would have expected. Like, I thought they were going to lose the Memphis game. So them being 0-6 wouldn't have surprised me. I just think they just don't have talent. And I think that we're just seeing that when you have a roster that is made up of guys that aren't that talented, this is just kind of the results.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us at least expected Jordan Poole to come out and have a few really hot nights to start the year. He had a really strong preseason, and it looked like, okay, we got ourselves a little gem here in a trade, and there's still plenty of time for that. It's really early in the season, but I think the early returns on Jordan Poole, it hasn't been a strong start. And it's, like I said just a second ago, it's so early into his Wizards tenure that I'm not declaring anything quite yet on Jordan Poole by any means. But it hasn't been a good start. We are looking at the backcourt of Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole, and you're looking at that defensively, and they're not going to stop anyone. There's not a single backcourt that I think defensively they match up with, and you say, okay, they're going to win that matchup. And especially when Poole's and Tyus aren't providing it on the offensive end, then they're just getting torched and not, you know, giving it back. So you're not going to win many games when that's your starting backcourt. And you look at the five position, as we've noted all offseason, all season, all we talk about is how awful that center rotation is. And Gafford has been okay to start the year. He's been Gafford. We know what he is. He's a solid rim running, you know, shot blocking big, but he can only provide about 25 minutes a game. He can't stay out of foul trouble, and we have to throw Gallinari out there at the five with that backcourt. And then they're putting in Corey Kispert defensively as Jordan Poole's replacement. With all that combining into one defense, you're not going to stop many teams. They're going to put up 130, 140 points every single night, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. And it's mostly the personnel. And that's where Wes is going to have to shrink down this rotation. He's going to have to decide what guys stay and what guys need to sit. There needs to be a strong focus, I think, on getting Bilal as many minutes as possible this year. He's the one singular guy I've seen night in and night out provide defense. And Denny is a pretty good defender as well, but I don't think he has the ceiling there that Bilal has. So I want to see the both of those guys get well over 30 minutes a night. They're, I think, long-term key pieces of this team. Let's see what they can do long-term and maybe shrink down this rotation a little bit. Because clearly what's out there isn't working, and it's not going to be a fun year. I think we all know that this was going to be what the record was looking like, but I do think we thought, or at least I thought, it was going to be a, you know, some competitive nights. Some guys were going to go out there and give their all, and defense would be played some nights, but we're not getting any nights where they're scrappy and you know, looking to upset a team. We're not really getting that.
Yeah, a couple things. I think that if you look at the Wizards roster, is there any player on this roster that is a guaranteed starter on like a good NBA team?
Kyle Kuzma, I would say, is we've seen him, and I guess he came off the bench on that championship team, but I think we've seen that Kyle Kuzma is a, you know, an NBA starter at a high level. But other than Kyle Kuzma, I think you're absolutely right. Like, we've seen Jordan Poole be an absolutely key contributor to a championship team, but I think he might not be long term, you know, the guy that he would need to be in this situation. I think he is a solid piece, obviously, but can he be the solid piece that you need to become what we want to be as a team? And it's early signs are saying maybe not, but again, super early into his career and even earlier into his Wizards tenure, I'm not going to give up on him. But to your point, I don't see another guy on this roster that's a guaranteed starter. I think Bilal will be, but maybe it's too soon to throw him out there. I would, because if we're going to be losing, going, you know, 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, why not get 35 minutes a night for your 19-year-old rookie who's actually showing a ton of early promise? Like, he looks like he belongs out there.
During our season preview pod, I was kind of pumping the brakes on some of the optimism, because at one point in the offseason, I kind of felt pretty optimistic about the competitiveness of the team and maybe they would be a bit better than people were projecting. Because I know a lot of people were like, they're going to be the worst team in the league. And I was like, oh, well, maybe they'd be better than like a Charlotte or the Rockets or something like that. But after I saw us in the preseason, I thought to myself, all right, like, this is going to be about as bad as some of these projections kind of are placing the Wizards. And the reason for that to me is I just think that when you don't really have any guys that are proven NBA starter level guys, like Kuzma to me is an NBA starter, but he's about the only one that's a guaranteed, like, if he was on maybe half the teams in the league, he would start. And I don't even know if that's true or not. Like, I'd have to really go through it, but I would say arguably Kuzma. But with Jordan Poole, I was really excited about having Poole and just him getting the opportunity to kind of show more of his game. I know there's been a lot of negative talk about Poole, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I do think there's a lot of disappointment to be had. But the thing I think is most interesting about what we're seeing from Jordan Poole is he's actually taking the same amount of shots as he took last year in Golden State. And I know that people are like, oh, he's just going out there and jacking. And some of the shots aren't ideal. They're not in the flow of the offense. But I think that there's a big adjustment happening here for Jordan Poole. You're going off of playing off of the best small ball, like, center of all time in Draymond Green, who's like really good at getting people like Steph, Clay, Jordan Poole open for looks. You're playing off the two of the best shooters, the best shooter literally in Steph, in a top five shooter, let's say, in Clay. You're playing off of these guys and you're getting a lot of space. We just saw in the Warriors championship, you know, two seasons ago or whenever it was, that Jordan Poole was a key cog on that championship team. And he was playing winning basketball and he has the same warts he has now, but it was in more of a like a constructed role for him. So now he's being asked to step in onto a team where all of a sudden there's these expectations that he's going to be the best player. I think that's a lot of what people expected. Oh, he's going to, including me. I said I thought he would be top 10 in scoring, and right now he's averaging 18 points. So, you know, clearly that I was wrong about that, at least so far. I just seen a guy to me that I feel like he, that the it's such a big change in role to go from being on a Golden State Warriors team with a championship culture, playing off of those guys, to going to a Wizards team where you're supposed to be the guy, but you don't have any of the same resources roster construction wise as you had on this other team. And also, we got to talk about the step down in coaching from Steve Kerr to Wes Unseld Jr. Like, let's just be honest, that's not ideal for a player like Jordan Poole to go from being coached by, you know, we know Steve Kerr's accolades, to, let's just say, a subpar so far head coach in Wes Unseld. So I think that people need to pump the brakes a little bit. Like, I think we can all say, like, hey, we're disappointed in his play so far. And that's objectively where I'm at, too. I've been disappointed. There's been times I've been watching the game and I'm like, oh, why is he shooting that? Or, like, I have the same sentiments that I would say the majority of the fan base has in terms of I have been disappointed so far. But I think that we have to give players space to adjust to their new circumstance. And I would say, like, let's take a step back and let's see where he's at after, like, the first 25 games of the season. Let's get, like, a good fourth or third of the season under, and then kind of look at it. Let's put a more of a lens on it at that point, where there's more continuity with the team and things of that nature. He's used to the system, used to being number one or number two on the scouting report. I mean, you got to think about it. Now he's being guarded by the best guy on, you know, him or Kuzma are being guarded by the best defenders on the floor. And he's used to Steph being guarded by the best guy, or Klay being guarded by the best guy. So I just think there's an adjustment to be had for Poole, but that doesn't mean there aren't major things that he needs to clean up, like just decision-making, shot selection. I mean, and he could just give some effort on defense and that would be appreciated. But I just, again, I think it's part of its roster construction. I mean, if you're putting him and Tyus out there together, you're just not going to stop anybody. There's not going to be a good defense. And we've been talking about this all offseason, all up until now. You and I on this podcast have been saying, before we even watch them play, this isn't going to be a good defensive team. They're going to be nowhere near good defensively. In fact, they're going to be like top three worst in the league. And we just knew that going in.
Yeah, and I would absolutely change that up right now. And I don't think Jordan Poole is a long-term point guard or a long-term solution there at the position, but I think you got to do something. I think clearly this is not going to be the defensive pairing that works. So we've seen Tyus Jones be an elite backup point guard, and we saw this all last year with Monte Morris. Monte Morris can be a solid backup point guard in this league, but he was thrown into a position that he shouldn't be playing in. He shouldn't be a starting point guard. And I think that's the same case with Tyus Jones. He's a solid player, solid NBA talent. He's clearly should be on the court, but he shouldn't be the starting point guard long term. And I don't think he's viewed as the long term solution there, and that's clear. So if we can get Bilal Coulibaly into the starting lineup, that's absolutely what I would be trying to do right now, by moving Jordan Poole to the point guard. And let's slide Bilal in there. And he's clearly ready for more minutes. I would love to see that immediately. He's only 19 years old, so we're going to expect growing pains. But if we're going to lose anyway, it might as well be with the young guys who actually provide something on the defensive end. I can't watch them lose 130 to 110 every single night. It's tough to watch. And I think we keep mentioning, we all knew that this was going to be the record, but I think a lot of us expected watchable basketball, and it just hasn't been this year, at least with this group out there. So let's mix some things up and see what sticks, because this isn't the lineup.
I agree with you in terms of mixing things up. I think it's kind of like a what are you waiting for thing, because we know what's currently being put out there isn't working. And we see guys like Amarui and Johnny Davis and Bilal, when they do come in, I will say, I mean, they're playing against like a relaxed version of some of these teams because they're up so much. So if you're up by 30, you're not going to get the most competitive version of the Heat or the Sixers or whatever team. But we're seeing these guys come in with a lot of energy. And I just want to see these guys play at this point. Like, I don't need to see minutes for Gallinari and Shamit and some of these other, DeLon Wright. I mean, I think there are things that DeLon Wright brings that's just good in terms of competitive nature, but I honestly haven't liked what I've seen much from DeLon Wright so far this season. I think that he's a guy that's on a losing team and he's aware of it. And he's a vet, and I think that he probably feels like his time would be better spent on a contending team. And I think that's the thing about when you are tanking is the vets on the team feel like their time is being wasted. Because if you're, you know, DeLon Wright or Gallinari or whatever, like, you only have so many years left in the league. Now, DeLon Wright probably has a few, but, you know, a guy like Gallinari, he doesn't have a ton of years left in the league. So while I think playing on the Wizards is probably beneficial to him now, considering he's coming off of his injury, I don't feel like he's a guy that's going to go out there and give like his 110% max effort all the time on both sides of the ball, because he's trying to save up his legs and things like that for his long-term trajectory in the league. And playing on a tanking Wizards team, while it might be beneficial to the fact that him getting like 18 to 22 minutes a night, it's not beneficial for him to go balls to the wall and, like, you know, and give that super effort every night. One thing I wanted to touch on that I've seen a lot in terms of just like people are like, oh, you know, the team is tanking, and like, if I knew tanking was going to be like this, like, you know, man, this is hard. And I'm like, I would take this over what we've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years. The unrealistic, like, oh, we're going to put Beal with Porzingis and Kuzma and have a big three and maybe try to make the play in. Like, that was miserable to me because it was such a, it was such fool's gold. Like they'd have a little teeny stretch of good games and it'd be like, oh, look, the big three scored 90 points tonight. And it'd be like, please, like, shoot me now. This is ridiculous. Like, I like all three of those guys in their own right, Porzingis, Kuzma, and Beal. But what to me was like, we're going out there and we're trying to win 35 games. I would much rather just be terrible and get a high draft pick and try to actually build towards something and have a real direction. Even if I have to watch terrible basketball for 3 years, what have we been watching for the past 4 or 5 years since John Wall got hurt? I mean, we've been watching Beal with Ish Smith and Jerome Robinson and Isak Bonga. We've been watching a fake big three in Beal, Porzingis, and Kuzma. We've been watching Beal try to be the guy for years now. Like, to me, if I have to watch Jordan Poole look like Nick Young for the next 3 years and it gets us three blue chip prospects in the process, like, I will take that, because I would much rather be like, wow, we have these, we have Bilal, we have Ron Holland, we have this guy, and now we actually have three young guys to build around that I can be excited about as a fan. I would much rather take that route than doing whatever we've been doing the past 4 or 5 years. So to me, I'm like, you know, losing sucks. No one wants to watch their team get their butt kicked up and down the court every night. It's not enjoyable, but we were doing that anyway last year, but they were just trying to win. So to me, it wasn't as bad. And I'm aware of that. And I get that the team was more competitive. But to me, I'm like, if we're going to lose either way, I'd actually rather lose with a real plan than just lose with this random plan that has no chance of working. So to me, I'm like, the tank is full go. Clearly, they're not trying to win. I have faith that there is a larger picture here at play. And whether that means Poole is long for the Wizards or Kuzma's long for the Wizards or any of these other guys outside of Bilal, who we know is going to be on the Wizards, but everyone else is up in the air, then so be it. But I think that what the front office needs to do is they need to get on the same page with the coach about what we need to, in terms of lineups and things like that. Like, we know what Tyus is. We know what Gallinari is. We know what Shamet is. We know what Muscala is. We know what Gafford is. It's time to see what Denny is. It's time to see what Bilal can do. It's time to see what Kispert can do. It's time to see what Johnny Davis can do. Time to see what Ryan Rollins can do and Patrick Baldwin can do. Like, let's see what those guys can do and not just trot out these vets that we know what they can do. And I've seen the whole, like, oh, they're going to raise their trade value thing. That's not happening. Okay. It's not happening. Like, I'm sorry. Gallinari is not, no one's trading a first round pick or a high second for Gallinari. It's just not happening. Now, maybe a protected second round pick for some team, maybe, but none of these guys are bringing back some crazy asset haul or even like a modest asset. Maybe you get a couple seconds for DeLon Wright, maybe a couple seconds or a protected late first for Tyus, maybe, but that's it. So it's like, we know what they are. At least there's a direction here, but let's play the young guys to the point you're making.
And it's a little unfortunate the timing of the tank. I'm putting quotation marks around the tank. Probably 1 year too late and 1 year too early. Like this draft class coming up is probably the weakest we've seen in a long time. And obviously, we still hope we get the first pick if we're going to be losing all these games like this. But not the best timing to be hitting the reset button. Probably the weakest draft class we've seen in a long time. And of course, that's subject to change. There could very obviously somebody emerge in this college basketball season that we didn't expect, or somebody overseas has a hell of a year and becomes that obvious clear-cut number one guy that we're not seeing yet. So it's too early to be making declarations on that, I guess. But yeah, I think to your point, we know what these older veterans can do at this point. I think we've been trying to, as you said, maybe play up their trade value. In my opinion, I think a lot of those guys' trade value has started to diminish. Like a guy like Gallinari, I think he looks way more cooked than I even knew. And maybe we should have known that. He's what, 36, 37, 38 up there in age and coming off a serious knee injury, didn't play at all last year. So maybe we should have known this, but I think he's even way slower and bigger than I had anticipated him being this year. It's very clear he's not going to provide anything defensively, and I wish there was a better young center on this roster. We've harped on this for pod after pod after pod. Where's the young center on the roster? We don't have one. If we're going to be losing games like this, why can't we at least throw a guy out there that might have a role 3 years from now? Because right now, that guy is not here. Gafford, maybe he's here long term, but to me, I don't think he's the long term answer at the center position. So can we at least try to find a guy that we can play at the G League level? Call him up. Is there a single guy out there who's young that we can at least throw out there and see what he can do for 5, 10, 15 minutes a night? Because Gallinari's not it. Muscala is what he is at this point. I think he's better suited for somebody who's maybe a contender or a young team who's looking just for a nice third or fourth big that they can throw out there every once in a while. I don't think he should be playing a whole bunch of minutes. So where's the young center? It's pretty frustrating from that end. I'll try to stop harping on the center rotation every single pod, but I think it's clear as day the biggest issue on the team. And until that's fixed and until a center is brought in that I think makes sense long term, it's going to be frustrating to watch each and every night. They're just getting worked by each and every big. I knew they had absolutely no shot at stopping Embiid last night, and that went exactly how you would think it would. But it's just about every single night they're getting torched by the opposing center. So I think they got to find some kind of young answer, or not young answer, a young player that can just get a little bit of time. You don't need to throw them out there 30 minutes a night, but let's get somebody who might be here next year, 2 years from now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like it's been nice to not see Anthony Gill that much, so at least that's a plus. But I don't mind Gafford getting these reps to see, like, okay, let's just see what we have, right? Because he's under contract for the next, what, 3 years? Let's just see what he can be or not be. So I'm not mad at that, given what the team is trying to do. Like, if the team was trying to win, I would say, what the hell are we doing with Gafford? But given that he's under contract, he's still relatively young. I think at some point, like we were saying, we got to just see what we have with the young guys. So them starting him and Denny, I'm all for that right now for where they're at in terms of team building, because you need to see what you have in these guys. And speaking of Denny, I feel like, you know, he's taken some strides. So I want us to give him some love here, and just maybe give our impressions of what we're seeing from Denny. But I really liked what I've seen from Denny in terms of his confidence in his shot, his effort on both sides of the ball. Maybe his defensive effort isn't as strong as it has been in past years so far, but I kind of just feel like the whole team's defensive effort isn't strong. So I'm not singling out him. I think he's still been their best overall defender, but I want to see more effort just in general on that side of the ball. But offensively, I mean, Denny has just looked a lot more confident, and I feel like we're seeing a version of him that I could project being on this team going forward. Is just kind of like a do-it-all guy that if he can shoot, that's going to be really beneficial, obviously, for him going forward. But we're just seeing him do a lot of different things. He's averaging 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. Like, he's just kind of doing a bunch of different things to have an impact on winning. And I feel like he's been the bright spot on the team so far in terms of just doing things that are going to contribute towards winning on some level. And I think that's what you want to see out of Denny at this point. I mean, what is he, 22 now? He's obviously in his contract year, got his new contract. So he's a guy I look at and I say, okay, like, this is a guy that could be a part of the future going forward for the Wizards if he's going to be this version of himself, which is still maybe not worth a top 10 pick if you're, you know, kind of comparatively to other top 10 picks. But if you throw out the draft, I think he's just a solid young player that can do a lot of stuff. I mean, throw out like the draft selection. If he's just a good young player at this point. And I think we got to like what we've seen so far from him.
Yeah, he's taken the strides in most places that we asked him to take his strides in. Right now he's shooting, and it's real early in the season, but he's shooting 50% from three. I don't think you can ask for more than that from Denny. He was shooting 29% last year. That's a huge increase in 3-point percentage. And like I just said, super early. So that's probably due to come down quite a bit, but you can definitely see the improvement in his arc, in his shot, and in his confidence on the offensive end. And he's hitting a lot of the bunnies that he would be missing in the last couple seasons. Like, in transition, he's finishing a lot more that he wouldn't have finished in previous years. So I think the work that we've seen in a lot of these offseason videos that we like to just disregard because they're offseason videos, clearly he's been putting in the work and improving in the areas that we've really wanted him to. So in his age 22 season, fresh off a contract extension, I think this is exactly what we want to be seeing from him as Wizards fans. He's taking those strides in the places that we really need him to. And will he ever be a star player that I think we would love him to be? I don't think he'll be a star player by any means, but I do think he will absolutely be a very solid potential fourth, maybe even third best player on a team, and a real solid piece for this organization moving forward. He's clearly probably the best young talent they have right now, aside from maybe obviously Bilal, but we still got to see it. So I want to see both of those guys getting over 30 minutes a night. We got to bump up their minutes because they're clearly going to be the young guys that are here long-term. Let's give them as many minutes as they can, and they'll better suited 2-3 years from now.
Yeah, you got to think the minutes is in some part due to the fact that they're getting blown out, so they're not playing in the fourth quarter. But I do think Denny should be playing more than 24 minutes a night. Like, he needs to be playing 30 minutes a night. There's no reason for him to not play 30 minutes a night. And same goes for, well, I don't think Bilal should be playing 30 minutes a night, but right now he's playing 23. Like, I'd like to see him more in the 28 range. He just needs to play. Like, it gets to this point where you're just like, what are we doing if we're not playing Bilal at this point? I could see if the Wizards had started like 3-3 or something. You're like, okay, the team's like pretty competitive in these games, and Bilal's a little like, you know, not ready. He's a little raw, like, or whatever. But okay, it's like, if we're going to lose either way, let's just play our young guys more. I know we keep saying that, but the more I think about it, I just think, well, what's there to lose? Like, Bilal doesn't look out of place. I mean, he might look a little timid at times, but I would just like to see him get more minutes. And I want to see them give Denny some more ball handling opportunities, maybe with the second unit. If they're going to stagger minutes, you know, obviously, you know, they're going to bring some starters in with the bench unit. I would like to see Denny get some more ball handling opportunities, because at this point, like I've said during the offseason, I want to see Denny be able to spread his wings a little bit. And he's taken some good strides so far this season, but I want to see things keep going in that direction of, okay, can Denny handle the ball more than than, like, we've seen little inklings of that over his career so far. Like, can he take on some more ball handling responsibilities and kind of do more? Because at the end of the day, he's going to be here, it looks like. I mean, he's at least on a tradable contract, so maybe, you know, maybe he gets moved down the road. But it's time to just see what these young guys can do, because these vets ain't it, you know?
Yeah, it's just a funny circumstance that we're in this year, and I'm super excited we're finally taking the direction we need to, but at the same time, we need to get those guys minutes. There's zero reasons that those guys aren't a little closer to the 32-minute range, other than, of course, they're getting blown out and throwing everyone else in the mix. But I hope we get to see some more Ryan Rollins, because he's actually been a real bright spot early on in the year and in the garbage time minutes that he's been getting. But he's actually shown a little bit of defensive promise that I don't think I knew that he would be showing. He showed a little bit in the summer league. It was like, okay, maybe he's a okay defender, but he's actually put it onto the NBA court and we're seeing it. Definitely provides more on that end than Tyus Jones will. So if we can decrease minutes for Tyus Jones, maybe eventually shop guys like him and like DeLon Wright, get some minutes for him. I think that's ideally how this season starts to trend. We start getting guys like Ryan Rollins more minutes.
We've been losing a lot of games. We obviously want to see the young guys play more. What are our impressions of what we've seen from Coach Unseld? I know that we've been kind of hard on him on this podcast since the podcast's inception, really. I'm obviously not the biggest West fan, but Chase, what are your impressions so far of what we've seen from Coach Unseld?
Definitely not super thrilled with what we've seen. And we've said all offseason that we're not going to judge West Unseld by the wins and losses. And I stick by that. I don't expect us to win many games this year. And with the roster, how can you expect him to? But at the same time, I'm hoping to see some fight out of the guys, and we're not getting any of that. I hope to see a little bit of defense out of the guys. We're not getting a smidge of that. We're getting blown out each and every night. And I'm not necessarily loving the rotations that we're getting out of Wes Unseld. And I think a lot of the issues that we've seen out of him year in and year out here in the first couple seasons, I think we're still seeing that in year three here. And the things that we want him to improve upon as a head coach, I'm not so sure that we're getting that here. And it's super early in the year, of course. So plenty of time for him to change the things that we want him to change and hopefully narrow down a real rotation, because with every single player on your roster, not a single one getting over 30 minutes a night, there's something wrong there. Like, you got to have some guys getting minutes to build upon. Like Jordan Poole, he needs the minutes. Bilal needs the minutes. And to me, Denny needs the minutes. These guys each and every night need 30 plus minutes. And obviously Kyle Kuzma, he's going to be a guy who commands those minutes as well. I think eventually this season, it might make sense to get off of Kuzma. I think it might be looking like, and I love Kuzma, but if we're going to be losing each and every night and towards the bottom of the barrel here in the NBA, I think he's better suited on a championship contender, and his contract is very tradable, especially with it being a descending contract. He's going to be a serious piece, I think, for a contender looking to take that next step. So eventually, I think that makes a ton of sense. Get off Kuzma, give more minutes to Denny, give more minutes to Bilal, and let's get the young guys some serious burn, because Wes isn't getting it done for that from that aspect quite yet. So hopefully he makes the strides that we wanted to see him make as a coach. But I think here, super early in the season and year three, he's not making them. So, and I've not been a Wes Unseld Jr. fan. I will be fully on board if he makes the changes that we ask of him. He just hasn't. So until he does, he's he's going to get unfortunately the brunt of it here on this podcast.
I'm just not a fan. I don't see it. I don't know what he's done in his tenure with the Wizards that has pointed to him being anything but at best a subpar head coach. That doesn't mean he hasn't been a really good assistant in this league, but I just don't see anything from him that makes me feel like we have a promising future good head coach, like on the horizon in him, or like maybe he'll develop into one. I don't see that. I see a guy that kind of has a game plan that he sticks to no matter what. And he's not going to mix things up. He's not going to make any real bold changes or lineup decisions or try much that's out of the ordinary. He's going to stick to what's very conventional. And even when things aren't working, I just feel like we don't see many adjustments or many changes. Or the defense just has never been good. And he was supposed to be a defensive head coach. And I mean, when I say good, I mean like just above average. I mean, we haven't seen a stretch where the team has been a pretty good defensive team. And I think that last year's team, not that I would expect this year's team to be any good, but I think last year's team should have been better defensively with Porzingis anchoring it. I feel like there was better defensive talent if you could galvanize the guys to try. But it's just, I just don't see it with him. I just don't see it. And I don't even, again, it's not about record. I mean, I probably expected them to be 0-6 going into this point of the season. So, and we're recording this the day after the Sixers game. So just to give people a point of reference, this is before the Charlotte game, which is on Wednesday. And I just haven't seen anything. And I don't know what else to say about it other than I think we're kind of wasting time with him being in charge of the team at this point. I just don't see the point of kind of belaboring it. Like I honestly would hate if they didn't let him go after the season at this point. I'm still a bit confused about why they had to pick up his option when they did. I felt like there had been nothing he had done that was deserving of a fourth year option at that point. And I get the whole like, oh, well, they don't want the coach to be a lame duck. And it's kind of just the way business works in the NBA. So if that's how it works, then okay. But I just felt like either way he's coaching for his job. Like it, to me, if I was Coach Unchell, maybe I have the security financially of the guaranteed money of my option being picked up. But do you think that he feels more secure in his job right now than he would have if his option wasn't picked up?
I don't think he's shown anything to make himself secure. They're getting blown out each and every night. Like at some point, put a competitive product on the court.
Right.
He hasn't done that yet, and I don't think it's. I don't know. Maybe he's already lost his locker room. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not in that locker room. I'm sure things are still fine there. But at some point, there's got to be a culture reset, and that starts with the head coach. Yeah. It really starts with the front office getting the right head coach in. And I don't think he's the guy. And I would love to see the front office, who I have full faith in. I'd love to see them get their guy in who fits what they want to do, you know, philosophically, what they want to do. I think they have something in mind moving forward. And I would love for them to get a coach that's on that same wavelength with them, because I don't know if that's Wes Unseld Jr. I'm sure they've got a solid relationship. They clearly, whether this is a Ted decision that I'm not getting a new head coach, or whether this is a decision that they're making themselves, I'm not so sure. But
I was going to go there. I just want to touch on the Ted point. I think I've been thinking about this just over the past, you know, few games, watching the games. I've thought to myself, I really do wonder when Winger was interviewing for this job, and, you know, they were kind of, he, you know, Leontis had picked him and was maybe telling him his own vision for the team or whatever. I wonder if he said, look, I really want things to work with Coach Unseld, because this is a guy, you know, obviously with who his dad is to the franchise, like we really want it to work. So I want to give him a fair chance by giving him another year. And of course, Winger's not going to come out and say, like, you know, Ted basically is making me contingent on me taking this job, like keep him in place as coach. So part of me wonders, is picking up Wes's option more a Ted thing than it is a Winger and Dawkins thing? And we'll never know that, at least not right now. Maybe that could come out later. But I just have a hard time thinking that Winger and Dawkins looked at what they've seen from Coach Unseld and were like, you know what? We want a fourth year of that. Like that guy seems like a great fourth year investment. So, you know, there's always like background dynamics that come in play, you know, into play with these things. But if we're just talking about what we've seen from Coach Unseld, I just haven't seen it. And I'm sure he's a good guy. And it's like, I don't advocate for people like losing their jobs. So it's not, I don't take pleasure in saying like, I don't think he should be brought back next year. But I think that some guys are just better off as assistants than they are as the main guy. And then some guys are just much better off as main guys than they are as assistants. And I think that for Coach Unseld, maybe he's a good defensive coach when he's has better players on the roster and he, you know, he can be an assistant and just focus on that. But in terms of galvanizing the guys to go out there and be competitive every night and to give their all and kind of willing to mix things up and just kind of be flexible. I feel like there's no flexibility. It just feels rigid with him. And it's very like cookie cutter and obvious, like, okay, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And I just feel like as a fan, when I feel like Scott Brooks was a better coach, and you know, Scott Brooks gets a bad rap. He wasn't terrible. He just was okay. But it's just not a high bar. And I think that Scott Brooks was significantly better than him. So
hey, we could say what we want about Scott Brooks, and there was plenty of bad to say about Scott Brooks. Don't get me wrong, but that man was willing to try things. That man threw a 3-point guard starting lineup in a playoff game. This man would at least try things. I'll give him that. Did we like everything he tried? No. But I think we've seen in now 3 years of Wes Unseld Jr., we know he's not going to really try to differentiate from what he's doing. Like, we saw an entire season of Monte Morris as their starting point guard. We saw an entire season of need of a switch at point guard. That's entirely on Wes Unseld Jr. He got his guy in the building, and good for him, but you got to be the head coach and make those decisions that a head coach needs to make. That's not the starting point guard. Like, get the right guy in there. Jordan Goodwin, in my eyes, was, or even DeLon Wright last year, one of those guys should have been the starting point guard. And he didn't make a change there the entire year. Didn't even try to see what else we could do. And I think early on in the season, he's not shown the willingness to make changes that we might, and it's super early. So hopefully he does. We're still seeing an early sample size on lineups. So I'm not going to completely bash him over not trying anything yet, but we do need to see the changes. Like, this is the year where, okay, we experiment with things. We're not just running the same garbage out each and every single night. We got to change something up, and you got to be a head coach. Because you've clearly been a guy in your career as an assistant that players love, and that's fine. Like, as an assistant, everyone needs to have a coach like that that they can go to and be, I like this guy, I like this coach. But at the end of the day, as a head coach, you got to command that respect of that locker room. And I'm not so sure as a head coach that he quite does that, it quite hits that mark. So we need to see it. We need to see something there from Wes Unseld Jr. or I'll be asking for him to go at the end of this year. And I fully don't want that to be the case. I want him to show me what we've been asking him to. He just has not done it. So until then, like, he's going to be on the Wizards group chat hot seat.
Yeah. I'm already on the record, as I already said, that I just think I'm done. Like, I don't want to see him come back next year, especially, you know, if things go at the rate they're going now, we should have a top five pick at a minimum. And if we have that, whoever that player ends up being, plus Bilal, plus I guess Denny and maybe Johnny Davis, I guess, like, if that's our young core, I'm joking about Johnny Davis. Like, I don't really think he's a part of whatever young core we're going to have, but I don't know if I want Coach Unseld. I just want to get a new guy in to lead those troops. I don't even know if I want to waste time, but I digress. I won't, I just want to see some improvement from Wes. So maybe we'll see it. And hopefully we can come back on the pod and kind of have a, hey, maybe we were wrong about Coach West. Like, I honestly would rather be wrong. So I hope that he can turn things around. Chase, can we expect anything different than we've seen so far from the team? I don't necessarily mean in terms of wins and losses. I'm sure some wins would be nice, I guess, right? Like, I mean, I say I guess because I don't want them to win too many games, to be honest, because I don't want a 30, I don't want a 35 win team that's like competing for a play-in spot or something. Like, I don't want that, to be honest. So maybe I'm, and I know some people say like, you can't root for your team to lose. I'm not rooting for them to lose, but I think I want to see them be more competitive. I don't mind some wins, but I don't want to do what we've been doing. So this plan is okay with me, not them not winning too many games, but I would like to see competitiveness. So do you think that they're, that we're going to see more of the same going forward, or can we expect to see something different?
I think we'll start to see some competitiveness out of the team once Wes is hopefully able to, you know, nail down a real rotation. Cause right now I think he's still throwing things together, seeing what sticks and which guys are going to actually be the long-term solution there in the rotation. And he hasn't quite pinpointed that. So hopefully he, you know, comes closer to doing that, but sure, I'd love a 30-plus win season if it comes from Jordan Poole, Bilal Coulibaly, Denny Avdia, those kind of guys. If they're leading that 30-win charge, wonderful. I will 100% take that. Like, if they're a competitive bunch and winning games with those guys, then power to you. But I'm not super upset with the win-loss record right now. As you mentioned, I think they're headed in the right direction in that way. Like, they absolutely should be. Just not necessarily tanking, but playing the young guys and as a result, of course, losing those games. See what the young guys can do. Enough of the Gallinaris, enough of the Muscalas. Let's see what the young guys can do. So from that aspect, I do hope for a more competitive bunch. I think the schedule coming up is a little bit easier than it's been to start the year. It's been a somewhat difficult stretch here, but I think they need to win some games against teams like Charlotte coming up. That's a team that you circle on the calendar and say, we need to win some of these games or else they're absolutely going to be in contention for this first overall pick. And is that the end of the world? No, I think that's a good thing. But yes, I'd like for it to come competitively with the young guys. So from that aspect, hopefully things do change a little bit. A little bit less Gallinari, a little bit less, and I like Kyle Kuzma, but maybe a little bit less him, a little more Denny. That's ideally how the season starts to shake up for me.
I do think we're going to see everyone settling into more of what things are going to look like going forward. And what I mean by that is I think Poole will play better. I think Kuzma is going to keep being Kuzma, but I think Poole will play better. I don't think we're going to get 18 point per game Jordan Poole all season. I think that he'll adjust to the role he's in. And I think that maybe he won't be as good as some of the optimists in our fan base were hoping, which was, you know, I mean, I mentioned that maybe we could see not literally Shai Gilgeous Alexander or James Harden, but something along those lines where he would be kind of unleashed a bit. And I look like a fool at this point, right? Like, that doesn't even seem like he's anywhere in that trajectory. So obviously, like, I was one of those people that was pretty optimistic that we'd see a high level from Jordan Poole. But even if it's not that level of like a 28 point, you know, point per game scorer, I think that if it would surprise me if he didn't get up to 23, 24 points a game and kind of find a rhythm with playing within the offense, getting his teammates more involved. He's only averaging, I think, 3.7 assists. I think that that number should, in theory, come up a little bit closer to 5 assists a game. But I would like to see him just kind of rein it in a little bit. Like, you don't have to just gun, like, and look for your own shot. I just want to see him kind of get his points within the offense. And I think that that comfort with his role, the coaching, the team, the roster, and the change. And like I said, like, you're not playing off of other great players now. You are the great player that some of the, or, you know, in comparison, like, you're the great player that the young guys need to play off of. So you need to set the tone. Even if he's not a great player compared to the other talent on the roster, he's one of the more talented players, is the point I'm making. So I think we'll see him settle in. I don't think it's going to result in a ton more wins, but I think the team will look better going forward. But I do think that Wizards fans, like, hey, this is a small sample of what we're going to have going forward in terms of winning games. Like, it is not going to be fruitful in that regard. So I would just say, like, get ready, be prepared, because that's just what's going to happen here. Like, the team is just not going to win all that much. So if that's what you're hoping for, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, the wins are going to feel real good this year when they come, because they're going to be few and far between. How good did that Grizzlies win feel way back when that happened?
Right, that feels like forever. That feels like forever ago.
It really does. There's been quite a few blowouts since then, and it's that's how it's going to be this year. I don't think any of us expect it to be a big win total this year. I definitely a preseason pod. We were talking in the high 20s. I think we might want to hit the down button on that one.
I think I predicted 26 is where I landed, either that or 24.
You were lower than me, and you were smarter than me.
Yeah, after the preseason, man, I was like, yeah, this team's going to be bad. Like, I think that I was optimistic about, like, maybe they, at first, I thought maybe they could get between like 32 and 35, but then I was like, ugh. After I saw it in the preseason, I was just like, yeah, this team's not going to be that good. But Chase, let's talk about the next few games. So, I have the next six games pulled up here. So the Wizards play at Charlotte, then home against Charlotte, at Brooklyn, at Toronto, and then they play home against Dallas and the Knicks. Out of those six games, I'll go first. I think that they'll win two of the next six. So I'm projecting that they'll beat Charlotte at home. So they'll lose when they on the road, but at home, I think they'll beat Charlotte. And then I think they'll beat the Knicks at home. I don't know why. It's not a strong prediction. I'm actually going to go to that game in person with one of my best friends who's a Knicks fan. So maybe I'm just a hater. So I'm picking the Wizards to win. But something in my gut is telling me that they'll win two of the next six games, whether it's the games I picked specifically. I'm not super duper confident in, other than the Charlotte game. But I think that's my prediction. They'll beat Charlotte and the Knicks. What do you think will happen in terms of those games?
I'm also putting it down at two wins in the next six. I'm also taking one against the Hornets. The other one I'm hoping is against Brooklyn. I just, anytime we play against Spencer Dinwiddie, I want to see him feel like an idiot, because every time he gets the opportunity to talk about the Wizards, he does so. And every time we play against Spencer Dinwiddie, he looks really dumb. So with the little feud that he and Kyle Kuzma have had, I think that one's going to be very fun to watch at the very least for that reason. Will that be a great basketball game to watch on League Pass? No, probably not. But as a Wizards fan, that's one of the ones that I'll actually be tuning in and like, ooh, well, you know, that might be exciting tonight. So hopefully that's the second win there of the six. Cause I want to stick it to Dinwiddie every single time we get the opportunity to, and we pretty much actually have, he can't beat us. And it's for whatever reason, it's hilarious. And he gets so upset about it.
I really want like a tell-all about that iteration of the Wizards. Like, what happened in that locker room with, like, that was like the Montrezl Harrell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kyle Kuzma, Aaron Holiday, like
KCP.
KCP version of the team. And I remember when, didn't the team start 10-3 that year?
Yeah, they were in what, first or second place in the East, and yeah, things were great. And then they were not great.
I remember there was like a MVP ladder or something like that. Maybe it was NBA.com or one of those places. And they had Harrell like in the top five or something. And I remember looking at that and thinking in my head, if this isn't like, this is the most obvious fool's gold I've ever seen in my life. The fact that Montrezl Harrell is in the top five of like an MVP ladder at any point in an NBA season is insane to me. And I remember, I just felt like these wins are nice and they're fun, but like, this is just not sustainable. There's no way this team is a 10-3 caliber team. And then it was like right after that, the bottom fell out. But it's just so funny, because it's like the Kuzma, like Dinwiddie beef is just so ridiculous to me. It's like two like off-brand all-stars, like
the two of the most Washington Wizards players you could probably think of just feuding over over the Washington Wizards. And I'm going to take Kuzma 10 times out of 10 over Spencer Dinwiddie. I will say that.
You know
I
what
hope.
The best part of the Dinwiddie, like Kuzma thing, it was some interview or something that Dinwiddie was doing, and he was talked about Kuzma like not knowing his role or something like that, or like kind of like his like who he really was in the league. And then Dinwiddie was like, you know, I'm like that third guy on the team, like a Drew Holiday type or something. And I thought, whoa, 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 like, let's pump the brakes, Spencer Dinwiddie. You are not anywhere near the Drew Holiday type or like that caliber of play. But he just said it so casually, like everyone was going to be in agreement with him. And that was, I remember that crack. Cause I'm like, I honestly don't care about like that feud. I just think it's kind of funny, but I'm not like, on the side of like Dinwiddie's like a super idiot or like I just don't care, I guess that's just where I'm at, like I don't care. So but that part just killed me because I was like, okay, like look Dinwiddie, like I get that you don't like Kuzma, but like this is insane that you're like mentioning yourself along the same lines of Drew Holiday. That was so funny to me.
Yeah, this guy Kuzma has no idea his role in the NBA, but I'm like a Drew Holiday. I know exactly where I am. Yeah, okay, buddy. No, that's I want to beat Brooklyn each and every time we play them this year. And what's funny is his own role is diminishing over there in Brooklyn. But that's a story for the Brooklyn podcast. They're probably not enjoying him over there either.
Yeah, that the whole Dinwiddie thing was I started to say, like I really wish there was a tell all about what went on in that locker room. I feel like there's so many versions of the Wizards that I really like would love a tell all book, like I would love for like Otto Porter to write a tell all like about his experience with like his iterations of the Wizards. I just am so curious about like how these locker rooms really were, like how, you know, just how these things happen, because I just feel like these things, it's like KCP and Harold fighting and, you know, whatever happened with, you know, the John Wall, Bradley Beal iteration of the team. I know I'm talking about two different things, but it's just interesting. Like, I feel like the Wizards always have these like weird locker room dynamics. And I'm just like, I just wish I could be a fly on the wall and like, and hear what's going on behind the scenes.
And that's why we got to tear it down to rebuild it back up. We got to get the right guys in the building. So we're finally doing that. But to your point, we've had too many hilariously awful locker rooms in my lifetime, and hopefully we're heading in the right direction. So to if we can say any one good thing about Wes Unseld Jr., I'd say other than that absolutely crazy locker room he inherited, I think guys are pretty solid guys in the locker room now. So I'll give him that, for whether that's credit to him or to the front office for actually getting guys in that aren't complete idiots. So from that aspect, I like the guys in the locker room. Are they going to win a ton of games this year? No. But I don't hate the people that we have on the team. So to that, I'll say good on the organization.
I think what I would like to see just going forward for this season is, again, I mentioned it a bunch, but it's something that's just in the back of my mind, is I want, like I said, proactive and not reactive. So if there's trades that can be had where the Wizards are taking on a bad contract to get a late first round pick or something like that, or if it's trading some of the many second round picks we have to take a flyer on like a James Wiseman or something like that. Like, I wouldn't mind moves like that, because again, James Wiseman might just suck, right? Like, he just might not be that good. He's just a young big that's come to mind that's not playing in Detroit right now. And I think like I'd much rather see Wiseman play than Muscala. Like, I would rather watch Wiseman struggle than watch Mike Muscala play, or watch Anthony Gill play, or Gallinari play, or I would rather them try something. Even though I'm not like dying for them to trade assets at this point, I think that if it's something like that, like a buy low potential, hey, like let's buy low, his value is very low, what's a couple future second round picks at this point, you know, that type of thing, given how many the team has. So I just want to see the front office be proactive. The team's not going to win a ton of games. Like, let's just make decisions that are going to help the Wizards, the Wizards 3 years from now, 2 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'm fully on board with that. We got a fun year ahead of us, figuring out who's sticking, who's not. Kuzma, I love Kuzma. I think the direction that we should be heading is getting very clear. He makes sense, I think, for a contender. So we'll see what happens as the year goes on. But I think the guys that will be here are becoming much clearer to me. So let's get the guys out that maybe make sense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think we can end on that note, Chase. Let's just see how it goes over the next few games. Like I said, I think people should pump the brakes a little bit on being so quick to say like Jordan Poole's not a part of the Wizards' future or he's terrible or whatever. I think that those things may be true, and I'm not here to say those people are wrong, but I think we should just wait and see a little bit. It's been six games. He's adjusting to a new role, a new coach, being the number one guy in a scouting report, and all that stuff. And there's things that he just needs to clean up. And there's no debating that. If he's going to have a good season, there's things that he just needs to do better. He needs to show more effort on defense. He needs to be more aware of what he's doing on offense and not just do whatever he wants. But I think that we just need to give things time. Let's just see where things go over the next 10 games. We're only six games into the season, so the team's not going to win a ton of games. But I think there's a brighter future on the competitiveness front that, like, I think it only can go up in terms of that. So I hope that the team can just try a little bit harder and make it a little bit more enjoyable to root for them night to night. But we shall see.
Absolutely. And we're going to be tuned in, whether they're winning, losing. I know you and I we've watched a lot of bad Wizards basketball over the years, so this isn't too much different, really. It's just a clear direction that we should be heading in, and to that aspect, I'm very excited about the outlook of the season. Hopefully, we're in competition there for the top three pick, and the outlook will look much better this offseason than it has in a long, long time. So we just got to stick it out this year. And as a podcast, we'll be doing that. But as a fan base, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a tough year, but I think if we all understand that this is for the greater good moving forward, we're going to be just fine.
Well, thanks for sticking with us, guys. I know the pod hasn't been as consistent as Chase and I want it to be, but we got hectic schedules these days. But we appreciate you guys bearing with us, and we'll try to get you guys some more episodes as these games kind of roll out in the next few days and things like that. But this is the Wizards Group Chat. We'll catch you on the next one.